I'm Bob Hirshon.
And I'm Chelsea Wald.
And this is the Science Update Podcast.
This week, we'll be looking at medical students who are diagnosing dinosaurs as a part of their training. But first, red tide is famous for turning the water off the Florida coast toxic and blood-colored. Other toxin-producing algal blooms are not as recognizable by color, but can be just as harmful. And some scientists are saying we don't yet know just how dangerous they can be.
That's right. Harmful algal blooms like red tide are getting bigger and more common worldwide. Off the California coast, sea lions have been consuming high doses of one of these toxins and dying. Recently, a team from the Marine Mammal Center, including veterinarian Francis Gulland, found that even sea lions that get lower doses of this toxin suffer from miscarriages and seizures.
And we found that they're actually having tiny seizures that we can't detect, obviously, from their behavior. And these seizures are gradually causing more brain damage to the animals. So at low doses, these animals aren't having the big violent convulsions and dying, but they are having smaller seizures, which gradually cause brain damage.
She says these findings are worrisome because people are biologically similar to sea lions and could experience similar problems from eating affected seafood. She says monitoring of seafood around the world needs to be made more sensitive to low levels of these harmful toxins.
The next story is about a controversial idea concerning autism. Bob, I hear that some scientists are starting to wonder whether autism is a disease at all.
That's right, they are. You may remember that in the movie Rain Man, Dustin Hoffman's character was an autistic man who could count cards at a casino but was otherwise intellectually disabled. Like most autistic people, he would have been labeled mentally retarded. But now a Canadian team has shown that the IQ tests usually used for autistic people may be underestimating their intelligence by up to 30 percentile points for highly functioning autistics. Cognitive neuroscientist Laurent Montron of the University of Montreal says this is a sign that autistic brains aren't diseased, they're just different.
So a difference that has not to be cured and that should not be relevant in determining the social status of a person. Of course, this is extraordinarily subversive, but when you think deeply on it, it's extremely bright.
In fact, he employs an autistic person in his lab and says she readily makes connections that people with typical brains can't. He even claims that the productivity of his lab has doubled since she started working there.
Well, I can imagine that's going to make people think twice. And our next story will make people look twice at the dirt beneath their feet. More and more disease-causing germs are becoming resistant to antibiotics. To learn more about the problem, some scientists literally did some digging.
That's right. Dirt-dwelling bacteria may actually hold the key to understanding antibiotic-resistant germs. This according to biochemist Jerry Wright of McMaster University in Canada. He explains that soil bacteria constantly fight each other with natural antibiotics, many of which have led to life-saving drugs. But they also have to defend themselves. So he and his colleagues tested nearly 500 strains of soil bacteria for resistance to 21 different antibiotics.
And we found that on average, these organisms are resistant to between 6 and 8 different antibiotics, sometimes as many as 15 out of the 21 that we studied. So what we've done is really uncovered a fairly dense and unanticipated level of drug resistance out there in the environment that pre-exists in the organisms that not only produce drugs but also live nearby them.
The resistance was often similar or identical to the kind seen in medical clinics. Further study could reveal how these resistances develop and even warn of possible troubles ahead.
Next, scientists are learning that rats have some pretty sophisticated tools for finding their way in the world.
That's right. The humble rat may not have high-def plasma vision or Dolby digital hearing, but it does come with built-in stereo smell. This according to Raghav Rajan, a graduate student at the National Center for Biological Sciences in India. His team showed that rats could find the direction of a smell in a fraction of a second by comparing the smell's intensity in each of its nostrils.
If they had just one nostril, then they would not be able to do this comparison quickly. Whereas now they can do this immediately by simultaneously comparing between two nostrils.
In fact, when one nostril was blocked, the rat scored no better than chance. The researchers also found that the rat's individual brain cells respond differently to smells from its right or left side. They're eager to find out if stereo smell works the same as the better-known stereo senses of sight and hearing.
Scientists often look to rats and other animals to learn more about human biology, and we recently learned that some medical students are using animals that don't even exist anymore for the same purpose.
That's right. It sounds strange, but at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, students are diagnosing fossilized patients. It's part of a new partnership with the Carnegie Museum of Natural History. They're opening up their vast collection of vertebrate fossils and skeletons. The medical students gain new understanding of human disease by studying how ailments evolved in vertebrate animals. For example, back pain and hernias arose when our ancestors began walking upright instead of on all fours. Understanding the roots of these ailments may help doctors devise new ways to treat them. In other medical news, University of Florida researchers hope to use a type of DNA found in lake trout to treat hemophilia patients. They've used the DNA to fix defective blood clotting genes in lab animals. The research may someday provide a way to correct a variety of gene defects.
This has been the Science Update podcast. Subscribe for free at www.scienceupdate.com, where you can browse our archive and submit science questions for our Why Is It feature. You can also call us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT.
Next week, we'll be hearing about how spats with your spouse can literally give you heart problems and find out what exactly kids are doing on social networking websites like MySpace.com. I'm Bob Hirshon.
And I'm Chelsea Wald.
For AAAS, the Science Society.